Welcome to the Doggone Truth podcast. If you need help breaking free of deceit to be empowered with the truth for the proactive health and well-being of your dog and yourself naturally, then you've come to the right place. I'm your host, animal naturopath, Dr. Kim Bloomer, where I don't whitewash. I just tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. It's natural, it's raw, it's the bone of my truth. Can you dig it? This audio was recorded March 21st, 2018, and it was on my farmer podcast that we had for 13 years. This was with our friend, Dr. Hugh Basham, veterinarian in Georgia. He has been one of our longest standing guests. He's been coming on the show every year since 2007. And this was a topic on suicide, among other things, and holding ourselves accountable. So I hope that you enjoy it and learn much from it. We're going to be talking about the man in the mirror today. And so we invited him to come share this topic with us. I'm going to point you to his website at the beginning so I don't forget. And his website is betterhealthandaplantoachieveit.com. You can pick up a copy of Dr. Basham's book there. And that's who we're speaking with, Dr. Hugh Basham. Dr. Basham, we're excited to have you back with us. Yay!
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this.
Today we have kind of a tough subject, and this time we're asking the audience, this is, I don't know how to really say this, so maybe I'll just open with a quote, and maybe it'll say it for me. How do you guys go? We're calling this the man in the mirror for a reason. We're often looking at ourselves, maybe pointing our fingers at the veterinary community, a lot of times at circumstances, maybe big pharma, you name it, we do that. But today we're going to hold ourselves accountable as pet owners and explain to you why this moved me, this particular topic moved me, and you'll find out why shortly. So we're going to start with a couple of quotes on responsibility. I can't think of a better person than Abraham Lincoln, who said, "You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today." Winston Churchill said, "The price of greatness is responsibility." And funny, our guy Bob Dylan, our musician Bob Dylan said, "A hero is someone who understands the responsibility that comes with his freedom." There's so much that we have to talk about today, I don't know where to really quite start. Jeannie had seen an article shared on Facebook, and she sent it to me, and my heart sunk when I read it. The title of it was, and we'll link it so you can read it in its entirety, "Veterinarian Suicides Reflect Quiet Professional Crisis." Now, this was in Santa Barbara, California, and two veterinarians, both women, Dr. Tiffany Margolin and Dr. Amanda Lumsden, had committed suicide. They were both mobile veterinarians. So one was working on doing mobile spay neuter and often to go to people's homes to euthanize their pets at home rather than bringing them into a clinic, which quite frankly, I appreciate that and would prefer that. To be honest, if that is my animal is in that grave kind of illness, meaning if they're going to go at home on their own, that's great. But if they're going to just this agonizing suffering, I'd far rather it happen in my home, in the quiet of my home with that and being able to say goodbye and just us there, no other people around. Just us and the veterinarian doing that. Sadly, both of these women, because they were dealing often with terminally ill cats and dogs and having to euthanize, there's so much going on, they both committed suicide this year. I'll just read a couple of the statistics to you and then we'll get into the topic as Dr. Basham shares his background with us and then his feelings about this and our feelings about this. So it says multiple studies in recent years have revealed disproportionately elevated rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide among veterinarians in the United States. And their suicide rate is four times higher than the general population, higher than any other white-collar field. Remember that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention survey of 10,000 practicing veterinarians showed they displayed signs of serious mental illness and feelings of hopelessness and worthlessness two to three times as often as the rest of the population. And similar statistics have been reported in Great Britain and Australia. One veterinarian, when he was reacting to this, said that the stress are very real. So we want to talk about that. It's really what we're going to talk about today is those stressors and the expectations of the pet owners when they are seeking the guidance of a health practitioner, whether it be a conventional veterinarian, a holistic veterinarian, whether animal naturopath or anyone in on either side, whether they're animal massage therapist, therapists or acupressure practitioners, acupuncture, whatever they are. But the other veterinarian had the mobile practice with acupuncture and Chinese herbs. So she was practicing a holistic veterinarian. The other one was a conventional veterinarian, and they both committed suicide. And they weren't that old. They looked to be in their late 30s, maybe early 40s. What saddened me was in March 17, 2016, I lost my own sister to suicide, and it devastated me. We didn't have any clue. And to look at that and say that somebody was that desperate, whatever, to take their own life for whatever reason, and she left us plenty of notes and everything. It was very planned out. I don't know that that was the case with these, but my heart went, this is crazy. And it's growing. It's growing around our nation, around the world, and not just in professions, but because this is our profession and because we understand the role of a healthcare practitioner, that's why we invited Dr. Basham, because he's been doing this a long time. And I'm going to open the floor up to him to tell you how long and how he has stayed this course. And just be as candid as you need to be, Dr. Basham. Just start off with telling us when you became a veterinarian and why, and how you stuck this out.
Well, my involvement with the veterinary profession began when my father was a student at Auburn. I was 3 years old when he graduated. I have been connected with the profession literally all of my life. A love for the profession that I can't explain. So this is an emotional time for me to talk about my colleagues and our friends and our neighbors and our fellow workers in the health profession to have a problem like this. I wonder how long this problem has been going on. Wait, let me back up a minute and say my father graduated in 1941 from Auburn University. I had an uncle who graduated in 1949 as a veterinarian, and then my brother graduated in 1976. So, you know, the profession and veterinary medicine and the caring of animals has been with me for a long, long time. So,
it's a family affair.
Absolutely, a family affair. So if anything I say this morning or this afternoon for me is misunderstood, please allow me to make a mistake here and there, but know my heart's right with what I say. It's not intended to be critical. Not what we're here for today. Here to lay out the problem, discuss it, and come up with a solution. I think everybody can learn from, and I like to think everybody can apply. If I had to say, I would say that this problem has sneaked up on us. And I say this because if you're going to be a veterinarian, I want to be a veterinarian, what a wonderful, you know, goal in life. And then they start studying, probably in high school. Now we're talking generalities. In high school, and finally they get in college, and they go through pre-vet, probably get a degree before they get into vet school, go through vet school for 4 years. So we're talking 8 or 10 years that these people have been focused on being a veterinarian. That's all they can see, being a veterinarian. Not how much is it going to cost, where will I live, where, you know, just, I want to be a veterinarian. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And then all of a sudden, one day, they graduate, they're so pleased, and then they step out into the real world. A world that they're not prepared to deal with. Isolated in a classroom, in a laboratory, with a nose in a book for years and years and years. And now we expect them to come out of that and all of a sudden to be, quote, normal. It's expected a lot. In my own case, I've graduated finally after, you know, years of school, went to the military, went to the University of Georgia, came back and practiced with my father, and I said, now, finally, I'm going to be a veterinarian. I'm practicing veterinarian. I can hardly wait to get involved. Well, my father had a one-man practice. All of a sudden, here I come along, and I have to build it up to a two-man practice. Therefore, I had to work night and day, committed, dedicated, hardworking, and then one day, I began to suffer from this, and I said, you know, what's wrong with me? This is my field. My dream is to be a veterinarian. What's bothering me? A friend of mine of the family came to my wife one day. This was years later. Now, by the way, by this time, I was working 6 days a week, 7 days a week. Only took one day off in 6 years, and that was to go to a meeting where I drove 450 miles that one day. So 6 years, 7 days a week. And it began to take its toll, and I began to say, well, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, I'm doing what I love, and what's wrong with me? And a friend told my wife that she needs to take me for a vacation. My wife is from Europe, so she suggested we go to Europe. I said, well, I can't do this. You know, I've got to practice and I got my job to do and I'm dedicated. And about this time, my brother graduated. And I said, well, he can fill in for me while I'm gone. So anyway, we're gone for 6 weeks. First 2 weeks, I was nothing changed, as restless as I could be. The next 2 weeks, I did pretty good. Couldn't wait to get back home. You know, get right back to doing what I love to do. Well, I began to, like, the same old thing, 7 days a week, you know, night and day, on call all the time. When I was in my mid-40s, which means I've been out of school for 20 years, I began to say, you know, I don't have the interest that I used to have. What's wrong with me? And I realized that I had discovered burnout. You know, I didn't know what it was. Just all of a sudden, I just couldn't keep doing this anymore. The very thing that I have loved all of my life suddenly began to turn on me and have its effect on me in a negative way. So, began to make some changes, eventually left the practice. My brother took over, took some odd jobs, and now I've been working for the state of Georgia for over 20 years. I'm still got this something in me that just won't, I can't settle down and be relaxed, because I keep thinking we as professionals have something to offer. Now, in the meantime, and you all can comment on this if you would, we're talking about veterinarians, but I wonder if we talk to the general population, what we would discover if we sat around the table and just relaxed and just talked one-on-one, heart-to-heart. I suspect this is a widespread problem, far wider spread than we know, if people were just open and honest about themselves. And so what do we do? I don't know whether we have identified the problem very well or not. I hope so. If you all want to offer some thoughts, please do so.
I think going to the situation where what you said, because this was a lifelong dream, you grew up around watching your father work and work with animals, and I believe that we go into this because we do love animals. Unfortunately, yeah. Often being told through the work that we don't, because we won't do it for free. So there's that, because veterinarians charge higher and higher and higher pricing now. It's starting to rise accordingly as it is with human health, only the human doctors get the same kind of education and make a whole lot more money than a veterinarian, yet the same expectations people have with people are now being transferred onto pets, because pets have become the 21st century children. They've been incorporated into the family. We did a show on the history of pets in America, and the role of pets changed. They've always kind of had, with different classes of people, the similar role as family member, but for the working class, they were a working animal, and now it's that everybody's pets are now they're pets, they're family. In a lot of cases, we have extremes where they're still used and still abused and that sort of thing. But sadly, as with all the information we have, and I was thinking about this morning on my walk with my dog, how we have all this information, all of this ability to learn, and yet people want to be told. And so instead of being proactive in the care of their animals and in their own care, they expect the doctors to just tell them after the fact. In other words, in a reactive fashion, take away my symptoms, I don't want to feel it, and take away those from my pets because I don't want to see it.
I'll ask us what we think is the cause of the problem. First of all, I think emotions and caring for the animals, love for the profession, love for animals has got us up to this point, and everything else is in the gray area. Okay, one thing, finances. I would guess, and you all correct me if I'm wrong, the average shooter that wants to be a veterinarian gives no thought to money. Most of them don't have a lot of money. They have to borrow the money. But that's okay. I want to be a veterinarian. I'll do whatever it takes to be a veterinarian. And then one day they graduate with an enormous debt. And then reality hits. I didn't have to do this. My father paid my way through school. When I graduated, I paid him back within 3 years. I owed him $3,000.
You know, wow.
Now they're talking what? $100,000, $200,000,
$300,000? Oh, yes. It's way up there. And people don't realize this. It's different with us because we're learning, you know, we're not accredited schools and that thing, so it is less expensive for us. But the expectation from pet owners to us is not much different than it is for the veterinarian. And we're unlicensed, and you're licensed, so there's different, it's different government control there. But there is, people still expect us to respond the same way a veterinarian does, and we cannot by law. But they've exhausted everything. Let's say a lot of times with us, Dr. Basham, they will come to us after they've exhausted the whole conventional approach, and the veterinarians have said we cannot do anything further. So now they come to us and expect a miracle.
Sure.
Which is why somebody could say, you're the reason why my pet died, and it wasn't. It was just an accumulation of the lifestyle throughout years and all of the accumulation of the conventional treatment. And my question here is, when you come to a practitioner, whether it's a conventional and a licensed veterinarian or a holistic veterinarian, or you come to a practitioner like us who are really, we're educators and guides. We're not going to diagnose. We're not going to examine the animal. We're simply going to guide you into a whole health approach that can be applicable to all of your animals. Whereas focus on the carnivore, we focus from that and show them, here are the laws of health. Here's how you apply it. But I need you to fix this. Well, it'll be fixed over time when you follow these principles, when you follow these laws, when you apply these things. They don't want to be responsible. They want us to fix it. And if the pet dies because they've already gone, let's say they have cancer and they've already gone the conventional route, then they come to us and want to fix it. If they use a natural modality, like, for example, the big thing now, essential oils and all of the hullabaloo, then we're to blame because that's how we approach things. It's a whole health lifestyle that will help that animal if their vital force, if the life force in them is strong enough to mount an offense and to rally, they will get well. If not, they won't. And at this point, rather than being, hey, you know what? I didn't, and this is how I look at myself. I didn't do this. I did this, this, and this. Therefore, I'm the responsible one. I chose to bring this animal into my life. I'm responsible, not the veterinarian, not this person, me. That's how I look at it. And that's why I've done what I've done, because I believe that. And I both worked as veterinary technicians. So we've been on both sides and seen both perspectives. And we still feel the same way, that it's still our responsibility as the pet owner to learn these things, to apply. And then if you need guidance, great. And then if you need to go get, for example, there may be a surgery if you have a broken bone, if you've had a car accident, whatever it might be, there's both can be used. And instead, what it's doing is creating animosity between all the practitioners, instead of all of us stepping back and saying each one of us has a role to play. And the role for the ultimate responsibility for that animal, and why I opened with quotes on responsibility, is the pet owner.
Let me tell you a little story, a short story, to help you make that point. I've got a friend who is probably 65, just had a heart attack, stents were put in. I was talking to him the other night, a couple of days after his surgery. He said, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Said, looks like I'm going to have to quit smoking. So he wasn't taking responsibility for his health. Looks like at least he's getting a second chance.
So what are you going to do with that chance? And I have a story similar, which was great. We had a listener to our show who, her dog at the time was 13 years old, is a border collie mix, and she listened to our show and she just took the initiative. And then she later consulted with me, and then we just kept a correspondence going for the next 3 years. That dog lived an additional 3 years. The veterinarians had done all that they could do with him, what they had been trained to do. And this is what we want people to understand. You can correct me, Dr. Basham, but it is, and I'm talking about conventional veterinary medicine, is reactive and it's reducing to symptoms. So you're focusing on treating symptoms, alleviating symptoms, but the root cause isn't something you're taught to prescribe, diagnose the illness for whatever we call those labels, and then treat it with a conventional approach, whether it's drugs, surgery, etc.
And I agree with that completely. Let me say from my perspective, I've now been a veterinarian 55 years, so I see things a little differently. I'm not up on the leading, cutting edge of technology anymore, but I have 55 years plus longer than that to draw from conclusions. And I'll say it again, we don't want to blame anybody. We're not being critical. We're up against the system.
There you go.
Everybody is playing a part in the system. It's not a blame game. Everybody has at least a part to play. I feel like that our part, the three of us, have a part of educating the people.
And that's really our role as naturopaths. We're educators. So we're going to educate you on how to not only help this animal be well through your participation, and it's got to be 100% of the pet owner's participation. It's also going to set them up to apply those same principles to every future animal they have. Because a lot of times I've had where we said, hey, if this is working for my dog or my cat, what about me? And we're like, yeah, we can do in that direction too, because we've done the same thing with our own health and our own lives. My health is far better now than it's ever been from 30 years ago. So what we're saying is we have to look at this as a lifestyle and not a fix. a lifestyle. And a lifestyle means you step into it now wherever you're at and start, like Dr. Basham said with his friend, well, this dog that I was mentioning, her name was Snooky, and she did that with her. And this dog had such quality of life until maybe the last 4 or 5 months, but they still cared for her. They still fed her. They switched her to the raw diet. They did everything natural after that. And the dog was able to have a really nice lifestyle when the conventional medicine was limited to what they had. And that was it. There was no more. There was nothing they could do. So when she took up the whole health lifestyle, then the animal was able to rally and fight and live an additional 3 years, which really blessed the owners. So
right.
That
wasn't suffering in those 3 years either. She was thriving.
No, she was really thriving, and she did go through a lot of detoxing and things. So there's that. And to me, that's what makes it worth it. So when people come to us and say, I need all of this, and I need you to just tell me right now in an hour, it's just not going to happen. We've put together a program that makes it possible for you to, and yet people don't want to. They'd rather, you know, come to me and spend multiple hours doing consultations where I could give it to them in one program and they can learn it on their own for one very low price. I'm not trying to sell here. What I'm trying to do is say, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you invest in that? And let's say if they're on medications or whatever, we typically won't tell you what to do with that. We cannot. So you would still work with your veterinarian on reducing that. They determine that, I suppose, through blood work and so forth.
Well, word that you have used in the past is unlearn. Unlearn things.
Renew your minds. Renew our minds, for sure.
Here's a quote. The mind unlearns with difficulty what it has long learned.
Whoa, that is so true.
I'm going to repeat it. The mind unlearns with difficulty what it has long learned. Once we're set in our ways, once we know how to do it, once we do it this way, the fact that it doesn't work and you've got to change your mind, that's difficult. By the way, Seneca said this 2,000 years ago.
It doesn't surprise me.
Not a new idea.
What's interesting about that is Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And he's a brilliant man. I mean, that makes sense to me. If we keep doing the same thing over and over again, these veterinarians had given up hope. And they, I'm sure, for all we know, they were still paying off student loan. For all we knew that they were just like, I'm not seeing any difference. These animals are getting sick. I'm having to euthanize them all. All my training, all my investment, and I don't see them well. I see them sicker.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do about it.
Well, they don't. And if they would learn this whole health approach, all of us, and I mean for our own animals too, and I have our own animals and our own challenges therein, and we know about the epigenetics, you know, the generational damage, because it's not just this generation that's damaged, it's subsequent ones. We keep doing the same thing. It's cumulative. So that's passed on in the DNA and again and again and again, and we keep going. The conventional approach will never, honestly, it will never bring about health and wellness.
Cannot.
It cannot. It's not designed to. It was designed for, Dr. Basham, I know you know this to be true. It was designed for heroics, meaning you got two dogs in a fight. You got a cat mauled by a dog. You've got a hit by a car. Those are where that medicine was designed to fix and to bring about that emergency heroic acute situation. The chronic situations are happening because people didn't even want acute illnesses, so they wanted something to prevent that, and what we've created is chronic illness as a result from our intervention into the acute. That means that you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? It through the whole so-called prevention from the conventional approach isn't prevention at all. It's creating chronic illness. So for us to follow God's laws of health, that's healthcare. But Dr. Basham, I know you had something to say just then. I heard you.
I was just going to say, trying to zero in on, say, where is the problem? Problem is mental, emotional, financial, perhaps physical, because they're working night and day, and they're caught up in this before they realize where they are. They're sinking, and then the veterinarian says, I don't know what to do.
Despair, right. They go to despair.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this show that people will see, look, you know what? Go in with the right expectation. Go in knowing what their training is and what to expect there. If that's where you're going, expect that. But also, if you're coming to a natural practitioner, the same thing. Expect that you're going to be held responsible and you need to participate 100%. If you go and those things don't work out conventionally, the veterinarian is only doing what they can do with what they've been given to use and do.
Right.
What they've been taught. So if you want all of these miracles, then you're going to need to participate 100% in lifelong healthcare plan of your pets, meaning investing in the proper nutrition, investing in exercise, fresh air, sunshine, good rest, the whole thing. And people say that can't be. It is. It's always simple. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it's simple. We have to trust in that. And as detoxification happens, as those things happen, but people just want, they want you to throw remedies at them instead of getting pharmaceutical drugs. Now throw some remedies at me. It's no different. You cannot just switch one for the other. It doesn't work that way. It's not how it's meant to work.
We are right now as a country, as people, is the horse is out and we're trying to get him back in instead of trying to fix the fence so he won't get out the first time. I got so tired of trying to fix the problem after it had happened. Too many times I lost that battle. Some 40 years ago and said, you know, there's got to be a better way to do it. So this better way has been circulating through my mind and heart for over 40 years because I tried traditional approach.
And it wasn't designed to. It was only ever designed for heroics, and then somehow it decided, some people in the scum decided they wanted it to be the end-all be-all, and it cannot be. And if you expect that, then you're going to be disappointed. Then you're going to blame your veterinarian, and the veterinarian's going to feel like they're worthless, like these veterinarians did. They're going to feel like they didn't do their job when they're doing what they were taught. And we're the same way. Only with us, we know that, you know, I believe it's because of our faith, because we see burnout on both sides. Healthcare practitioners get burned out because they want to see wellness. And when we don't, it's frustrating, especially when the pet owner, it has expectations of something that's not going to happen because they won't participate, because they're running around throwing spaghetti at a wall, joining a whole bunch of groups online and throwing everything at them. And the poor body just cries uncle and says, I can't, you're throwing everything at me on both sides. You're doing all of this natural stuff with all of these drugs, with all of this thing. And you think something's going to work. The more I do, the more it must work. No, sometimes less is more. Sometimes simply following those laws of health are all you need.
And when they go to these forums and these groups, they try everything. And a lot of these people with these animals will come to us and tell us, well, they're on this supplement and that supplement, and I'm feeding them this and this and this, and the doctor has them on this.
All these prescriptions.
And I don't understand why my dog's getting worse.
Right. It really cannot work that way. With my own dogs, I felt responsible. Even if I make the decision when I've gone, let me just give a little quick scenario. When I've gone to get a diagnosis, and I usually will tell the veterinarian, all I want is a diagnosis. I don't want the drugs. I don't want the treatment. I just want your diagnosis. And then I'll determine from there what I'm going to do, because I'm the responsible party for this animal. And then when I make that decision, whatever the outcome of that decision is, it's on my shoulders, and I want it to be, because it's my pet.
Kim, earlier you mentioned the teacher. As you all know, all three of us know this, the title doctor means teacher.
That's right.
If we're going to point our fingers at anybody, we might point our fingers at ourselves, say, are we teaching as we should?
Look at the man in the mirror. We're going to stand, that's why we call this the man in the mirror. Let's go look at the man in the mirror. Who is that person looking back? That is who is responsible for the animals we have chosen to bring into our lives.
Absolutely.
And into our homes. And when we go to somebody for, and it's the same thing with our own health. I do the same thing with my own health. I tell them, I know that a lot, and Dr. Basham, I know a lot of the modern training is that the doctor has authority. Not in my life, they don't. I'm the authority because it's my life. It's my dog. So I'm the authority over them, and I make the decisions. And then if they've made me sign releases and stuff, I'm fine with that because I know what I'm going to do. If my animal dies, then, and I'm responsible, it's because I followed my heart and what I know to do. And if it's that animal's time, then it is. And I love, and we used to have a veterinarian who came on here. He passed away a few years ago, quite young, actually. And I can see why, the amount of stress that's put on him. He was only 50 years old when he passed away. He was from South Africa, worked in the UK. His name was Dr. Johan Hubert. And he used to say, we overextend things in this society and we don't hold ourselves accountable. And it was astounding to him, coming from what is considered a third world country, that we would be so over the top with this stuff and not holding ourselves accountable. He was really adamant that we be accountable personally, and that the animals that are in our care are our responsibility to invest in. And when something goes wrong, and we know there's bad practitioners in every, and there's people in every profession that do things wrong, but that the point is, as we were experiencing something yesterday, I tried to say, but okay, let's look at the good that person has done, and not, and if we could just stop looking at the bad. I think we mentioned on our program a couple of weeks ago that there's a short video about how we're all being brainwashed through media and everything. And that 4-minute video basically says we are, so we have to decide what we're going to wash our brains with. The negativity is what raises ratings, which is why they show so much negativity on the news. Mm-hmm. And it gets the brain is designed to say, the mind is designed to, let's react to that. Let's fight or flight. And instead, if we focus in on what's good, a whole other perspective is going to come. And perspective is everything, right?
Let me kind of throw us a little curve right here and mention this. What part do you all think, that diet plays in this? Let me answer that question, then we'll discuss it.
All right.
Years ago, a fellow had a German Shepherd. The way that I remembered it, the dog was maybe 6 or 8 years old, and we were just talking. He happened to be in the feed business, by the way. And he said, you know, I said, that dog has been a wonderful dog. He said, it looks like the older it gets, the meaner it gets. And I'm afraid it's going to bite somebody. Children come home from school, and the dog's out there. I said, I'm afraid somebody's going to get hurt. I'm probably just going to have to lock that dog up and pin him up. I can't take any more chances. I encouraged him to try some of the enzyme product that we talked about. And then I saw him, a month or two later. I said, how's your dog? He said, oh, the dog's fine. I said, the dog now loves everybody. So he went from biting everybody to loving everybody with just a change of diet. Let's back up a little bit and take this student that's 18 years old and graduate from school, let's say at 30. How many home-cooked meals have they had in the last 8 or 10 years? Probably very, very few. Hot dogs and hamburgers, and they're in a hurry, and they just grab a bite of snack here and there, and a box of cookies. When their attitude changes, and the stress of school and the stress of being in debt comes along, and the emotions of working with sick animals and unhappy clients, that might trigger the whole thing.
Actually, because when we both worked in there, I've never worked for a veterinarian that seemed happy. Not one. Every single one I worked with, they were mean, they were grumpy, and a lot of them were using pharmaceutical drugs for whatever pains, whatever ails, whatever was going on with them. And I hated, I'm going to be frank with you, I was going to go to vet school until I went in there and worked in that, and I said, no way, I'm getting to where I don't even like animals, and I can't fathom myself not liking animals. I didn't like them, working with them. The whole dynamic is depressing because the animals are sick, they're not well. And so the pet owners are stressed, there's money involved, and all of that together just is a recipe for disaster. So how can we change that? We change by looking at the person in the mirror, and we start to apply those laws of health. That's what I've done. I know, Dr. Bashan, you've done that because I've worked with you on that. And we are seeing the difference in our own health and well-being. We're doing, and we see it in our own animals. It doesn't happen overnight. Nature's slow but sure.
We do a little guessing that people far above us in their pay grade up this ladder are aware of what we're talking about. Yet, nobody seems to have a solution, and nobody seems to be actively addressing it. Talking about it, yes, I'm sure they're having meetings and they're writing articles, and I've read 2 articles about this, and nobody seems to know what to do. Discussion this afternoon could hopefully trigger a beginning towards solving these problems.
I really think that the solutions are simple, but we have to each hold the person looking back at us in the mirror accountable, and our expectations need to match what the capabilities are. What are you looking for? What do you want? If you haven't been committed, not just interested, but committed to the life of our own animals in that lifestyle, then we can't expect somebody else to come along and magically fix that.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. You've got to step in and participate 100% in that lifestyle for your animal, and then you will see those changes you're anticipating. That's it. It's that simple. The solution then is responsibility, personal responsibility, and active participation.
Back up one step and say awareness.
That too.
Talking about the problem. I'm not sure the general profession is aware of the problem. It just kind of sneaks upon them, and it's kind of in the background, and yet it shouldn't be. We need to say, listen, we've got a problem. We need to address this problem, and then we take that next step.
Eckhart Tolle said that awareness is the greatest agent for change.
Great.
So, good. I guess we need to close now because we've been in this awesome conversation. It went way too fast, as it always does with Dr. Basham and Dr. Basham's website again. BetterHealthAndAPlanToAchieveIt.com. Hello. That is a book that can lay out steps for your own health, and that he lays out those laws of health right in there incorporated. He doesn't call them that, but that's what they are, and it's for your health. and what we're talking about with our animals, you, at the time, you know, that's all we talk about. So we're hoping that this will make a difference on both sides, and that we can come to a consensus and not fight each other, not implode, not argue, work in this, not necessarily together, but work in a tandem, I guess, is the way I'm thinking of this. At least that's our hope. Dr. Basham, do you have any closing words, parting words of wisdom, as if everything you just said wasn't wisdom?
Well, to everything there is a season. I think we're in well into the season when this subject needs to be addressed. We are addressing it. I hope this is the very, very beginning, and then we'll move forward from here.
Thank you for listening. And remember, when you know the truth, Jesus, then the truth will make you free. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. The Doggone Truth Podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom. All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Kim Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. Information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure, but rather to encourage and empower you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets based upon your own research in partnership with your health care providers when needed, but especially to depend on Jehovah Rapha, the healer.